As our worship team looked through the readings this fall, we realized that there was a lot of conflict in them. Last week you talked about gossip, and this week we're thinking about competition. It comes up in two of our four lessons. So I've asked Steve McCarty, who has been in the corporate world for a long time, if he would kind of give us his take on competition in the life of corporations and businesses. So first of all, how many years have you worked in a corporation of one another? And have you been to several? Or?
Sure, I've been with several companies and been in human resources for about 25 years.
Okay, 25. So you've had plenty of opportunity to know how the things work and how people work or don't work. So when you think about it, is there a problem with unhealthy competition in corporations?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would start by saying that, you know, a lot of competition is actually healthy. You know, a lot of what we have today, you know, whether it's this building, our clothes, our food, you know, ironically is built in, to a certain degree, through competition. You know, organizations trying to be better and winding up serving better. You know, sadly, you know, that winds up being warped. You know, too often, you know, where competition becomes, you know, not the journey, but really the end goal. And people, individuals, organizations, you know, of all types wind up making the wrong decisions because they lose their focus of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Wrong goal, lose their focus. And do you have, so that's part of why they do it. Any other ideas of why people will go from a healthy competition, as you say, which we need, just, you know, step over the line? What are the temptations, maybe, that you see?
Yeah, so, you know, working at the executive level, I hate to say, but to be honest, you know, the further up you go, you know, the larger the rewards, and the larger the rewards, the more they have a potential to warp behavior, you know, to almost incent you to do the wrong thing. And, you know, depending on what your context is, I mean, you could wind up doing things that are out of context and you don't even realize it. You know, we have a wonderful company, and for the most part, we do a lot of things right. But we have thousands of managers, and with thousands of managers at any given time, you know, one or two might not be thinking the right things. And, you know, the desire to get ahead or to have a larger car or a larger house or a larger what have you can wind up, you know, making you do something wrong with a customer or wrong with an account or wrong with a fellow employee or wrong with a fellow branch. And you see that. And when you see that, I think it's really a lack of context. I mean, somebody's entire context may be that car, that house, or that report where they want to win, and they don't have additional context like we might have here or with family or through the word or what have you. So I think people wind up becoming overly focused in one area of their lives because they haven't focused on other areas.
Okay. That's helpful. In your years in the industry, do you see things that can prevent that or can diminish that unhealthy competition?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, how do you prevent that from happening? I don't know. I sadly think that there's a small percentage of folks for whom you can't prevent that. There are folks who will be bad no matter what you do. And in human resources, you see all the good and you see all the bad. Like if it's really good, you're there, and if it's really bad, you're there. And sometimes there's nothing you can do. And I hate to say it, but I think that we all need to acknowledge that. That being said, I think most folks, myself included, you know, are probably somewhere in between. You know, we're not perfectly good, obviously. We're not absolutely bad. But, you know, through, you know, making sure that you have balance in your life. As a company, making sure that we have regular touch points. You know, we use the example of actually Coca-Cola, of all things. You know, Coca-Cola doesn't run a commercial once and expect you to buy more Coke. They run it multiple times. It's why we come together as a congregation. You know, as an organization, you know, we will talk about values and ethics, and we will give specific examples, not once, you know, but we run that commercial many times in order to remind folks of the different situations that they can be in where, you know, the good folks that can make mistakes, and here's the situations that could present themselves to you that you want to avoid. So we have to run that commercial regularly. We have to come together regularly. We have to not let our lives get out of balance. We have to focus on other areas, not just the goal.
Mm-hmm. That's very helpful. And specific, helping them to imagine specific challenges that might come, specific temptations. That's really helpful. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to hear Enterprise is doing things like that. You know, you don't always know what corporations are doing to try to minimize that unhealthy competition. So thank you.
You betcha.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you, Steve, for your thoughts. And as Steve mentioned, competition can be very important. It's fun, right? It makes us do our best. But where is that line? Where is that line where you're stepping over from healthy to unhealthy competition? And even if you knew where that line is, like Steve suggested, the more you have to gain from unhealthy competition, the more tempting it is to do it. Well, in today's lesson, Jesus' disciples are arguing amongst themselves about who is the greatest. Not who is the best spokesperson, not who is the best listener. It's much more basic than that. Who is the best person? Who is the greatest? Who has most value? Jesus doesn't answer them. I mean, once he finds out that's what they were arguing about. But he uses it as a teachable moment. He sits down, which is the indication that he's going to teach. And he brings a little child and takes this child in his arms. Now, in Jesus' day, children were looked upon differently than they are today. They were loved, but they were not protected and entertained and catered to the way we do our children. So if this were happening today, I don't think it would be a little child that Jesus would put on, you know, on his lap. He would probably find a homeless person, a man, a smelly, dirty man who's maybe dealing with a mental illness, who isn't communicating very well, and he would gently take that man and have him sit next to him, and he would put his arm around that man, and he would say to his disciples, "When you welcome this man, you are welcoming me, and you are welcoming the one who sent me, our Heavenly Father. When you hurt this man, you are hurting God, and when you help this man, you are bringing joy to God." You know, that is an idea that runs counter to everything that we have been taught. Because what Jesus is saying there is that our whole sense of rating people, our hierarchy of judging people and their merits, all of that is fiction, like fantasy football. It is not real. He says what is real is that God values everyone equally. Loves and values everyone, from the most bloodthirsty tyrant to the sweetest child. Now imagine what a life changer that truth is as we take it in. Because how much less are we going to want to compete when our ego and our self-worth is not part of it? When we know that we are loved, that we don't have to prove ourselves. Right there, it's going to diminish a lot of need for competition. But also, how much more carefully will we compete when we know the people we're competing against for our status on the team, or our you know, status in school, or our place in the corporation, when we are competing against people who have within them a spark of the divine, who, like we, are sons and daughters of God. Jesus lived and died and rose again to free us from the fear and the need to compete. Now, it's wonderful to be freed from the idea that we have to prove ourselves and our worth. But we look around the world and see that all is not equal in the material world, that some people have and some people have not. And we wonder, is it wrong to compete for material things? But that's exactly the topic in the second lesson, the book of James. James describes a disastrous result of competing for material things right within the Christian congregation. He says, you don't have, you want it, so you murder. Hard to believe that happened within the Christian community, but that's what he says. But it's not hard to believe that it happens in the world. Look at Syria. We have warring factions. They want control. They want material wealth. And so they are killing people. They are bombing innocent families. So now we have a whole army of refugees, starting from Syria and other countries in Africa, all the way to Northern Europe. There are a weary group of thousands and thousands of people who have decided that it is better to walk into the unknown with only the shirts on their backs and take their little children with them than to stay back where they will be killed. Now, I don't want to be too hard on Hungary as a country, because I think that if the people in Missouri saw thousands of refugees coming across the Mississippi into our state, we would probably act, you know, out of impulse and fear. But in Hungary, they have set up razor wire fences to keep these people out. But what's sad is that their leader says they're doing it to preserve their Christian way of life. So is it Christian to prevent people, sons and daughters of God, from getting the things they need? Well, of course we know it isn't. And of course we know that God is a loving God. And so surely, if we want to, God will give us the strength and the wisdom to find ways to share our wealth so that people are not being denied what they need to stay alive. And it is happening. The ELCA is working with the Lutherans in Hungary to somehow get the things these people need, the basic things, to them. And the Catholic Church, just heard Pope Francis say, the Catholics have a lot of empty space in their buildings. Let the refugees come. And he's made a flat in the Vatican available to a Syrian family. So it is happening. But at the heart, the problem is fear, isn't it? When we are afraid and feel we must compete and must deny other people for the things we really need, then we need to go back to the gospel. The gospel that tells us that God loves everyone and God wants no suffering. The gospel that tells us that, yes, things are not evenly distributed, but that's probably a matter of distribution. And that God willing and our hearts being changed, we'll find a way to share. But what the gospel tells us is that everything we need is given to us without competing. It's given to us as a gift. Without competition, as a gift, God gives us what we really need. God's love, God's forgiveness, God's power, and eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.